Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 482 for Sunday, March 12th, 2017, are Kevin Crossman.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Chris Papchek.
Hello, Diz Dads.
And David Platt.
Welcome to the dark side.
So tonight, we're talking Disneyland dark rides. Actually, Disneyland Resort, so we'll be talking about both Disneyland Theme Park and Disney California Adventure. But before we get to that discussion, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. So this one should be interesting. You know, we've had a fairly robust discussion sort of leading into this podcast about what counts, right? How do you define a dark ride? And maybe before we talk favorites, we should talk just a little bit about what we consider to be a dark ride. When we're talking about our favorite dark rides, you know, what kinds of attractions are we talking about? And, you know, we've all been looking into this. Chris, why don't you take the first crack at a definition of, you know, what it means when we say dark ride?
I would say in the classic Disney sense, when you look at the original opening day attractions with Peter Pan, Mr. Toads, and Snow White, you've got a track with scenes inside a building in a small space that are backlit to maybe look larger than they really are.
All right. So what part of the keys here, I think, and that's what I'm just trying to pull out some keys to definitions as opposed to, you know, real specifics of attractions just yet. What we're talking about then from that definition is really sort of a ride that is on a defined path and uses some forms of sort of stagecraft to set a scene and tell a story. Now, Kevin or David, is there anything you would want to add to that definition?
Well, I think I would say that for the most part, I consider a dark ride a ride where you are, for the most part, a passive observer, and okay. You are just there. The ride is telling a story to you. It's not an action-based ride, although I think there may be some debate about that later on some attractions. Okay. Yeah, but for the most part, you're a passive observer. I think it's mainly in an enclosed building, all inside. That's kind of my definition of it.
Interesting. Okay, and Kevin? Anything you would add to that definition before we start with our lists?
I guess I'm kind of a purist in the sense that I feel like it should be more or less on a flat surface.
Okay.
And doesn't involve water, because then you're turning into water rides. So, I mean, if we were to take the, you know, furthest definition, you're moving and you're in the dark. Should we count Trader Sam's? If you're on one of those stools? No, I don't think so, but, you
well,
know.
Well, now, wait. So. Are we only counting horizontal motion, or are we, we counting, you know, vertical motion?
Well, whatever it works for you there, Aaron. But in any case, like, I mean, you are moving. You are moving in the attraction, so to speak, one way or the other. But anyway, yes, we know that's not a dark ride, so. I mean, in general, to me, if the ride is more like another genre that is well-known, like a roller coaster or a water ride, then it sort of, to me, would snap to grid to those genres more than dark ride, just because it happens to be in the dark.
All right. I can see that.
And again, there's probably some things like Radiator Springs Racers, things like Indiana Jones might be borderline depending on how you view things, I think.
Right. So for you, it's really about the fact that if it can go into another category, it probably ought to. That dark rides are a sufficiently narrow niche and a sufficiently well-defined niche that they ought to be sort of their own thing. All right. Well, why don't we let you then get us started with you know, we kind of told people to come prepared with sort of a top five. So what would be number five on your list, Kevin?
Number five, you know, I think this is a attraction that sometimes is a little derided. It hasn't been met with the gigantic lines that I think Disney envisioned when they built it a few years ago. But I do like the Little Mermaid Ariel's Undersea Adventure attraction over there at Paradise Pier. And I think that the trick here with this attraction is, and it's honestly, this is the way it is with a lot of attractions. If they ran it on double time, it probably wouldn't be as fun. But when it's a nice leisurely pace, it's actually a lot better. And so this is an attraction where obviously it's based on the Little Mermaid film. And they have made some improvements to some of the special effects and some of the figures and things like that over the past few years for this attraction. But I've experienced this ride both at Disneyland and at Disney World when it's run a little slower than normal. And it seems like it's such a better experience when it is run at a nice pace so you can really take in everything in the Under the Sea scene especially. It gives you more time in the attraction. That's a big plus for me. But I like this Little Mermaid.
Okay. So a modern take on a dark ride from Kevin for number five on his list. Chris, what's number five for you?
Might be a little debate, but going through my list, I'd have to list Peter Pan, Peter Pan's Flight with number five.
Okay. And why were you concerned about there being a debate on whether it counts?
Oh, no, I know it counts. Oh, it's okay. A matter of what I have ahead of it. And sure. I know it's a favorite, but I definitely have some others ahead that I think rank a little higher.
I see. But, Fair enough.
It's a must-do, and it's usually a must-do is the first ride of the day to avoid the long lines.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that is, I guess, maybe, you know, not a hallmark or not an intentional piece, but it's a bit of a hallmark of some of these older dark ride attractions is that they, you know, can only load so fast. And so they do tend to back up. So Peter Pan came in at number five for Chris. You know, having talked about that particular attraction with both David and Kevin, I'm going to guess that for both of them, that's probably a bit low for Peter Pan. But David, where would you go next?
Well, I wanted to pick for my number five. I figure a lot of us are going to have a lot of overlap. So I wanted to pick one that I thought may get overlooked a little bit on most people's list. I'm going to pick Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue over at California Adventure.
Interesting choice.
I think they took what was, by all accounts, I never experienced it myself, but what was, by all accounts, a pretty horrible ride and turned it into something quite enjoyable. It tells the story of the movie really well. It has some really interesting effects working with the limited space they have there. I mean, they make that door room look massive when it's really not. It's just an enjoyable dark ride all around, and I think it gets overlooked a lot.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm glad you mentioned one that maybe, you know, is a little on the fringe, both physically and in people's minds. I think people don't really think about dark rides when they think about the sort of edge there of Hollywood land.
Yeah, sure. It's just kind of tucked back in there. A lot of people miss it, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, for me, and, you know, I always struggle with ranking Disneyland things because it's always a battle between the sort of inherent quality of the attraction itself, and there's this extra tinge of nostalgia that Disneyland attractions, in my mind, sort of get credit for. So trying to balance those for me was a real challenge in coming up with a list. And taking all of the various things into consideration, number five on my list may be a little bit on the edge of controversy here, but by Kevin's definition at least, and that is I'm going to go with Haunted Mansion. You know, I think it meets the most traditional definition of a dark ride, frankly. I mean, it is the closest thing in a Disney park context to a good old-fashioned Tunnel of Love attraction. It just has some more storyline to it, and I just think that what makes it so great is the level of detail in the dark ride elements. There's always something else you can see in the scenes, in the interaction with those scenes. And so that is number five on my list, is a classic attraction that maybe doesn't have a complete storyline, but does certainly evoke traditional dark ride atmosphere. So we've gotten everybody's number fives. Let's go back this time and get a number four from Chris.
I guess Kevin was saying earlier with the cross attractions and what elements could classify as two rides. But I believe this ride has enough of the dark ride element to classify to it, and it tells a story. And my number four would be Splash Mountain. I think there's enough elements that play with the audio animatronics, with the water, and tell the story of the Brer Rabbit to go along, and you get this complete story, and then you're kind of part of the story, and it just makes it a lot more involved. It's definitely one of my favorites, and there are of course elements outside, but I think there's just enough to throw it over the top to make it the dark ride it should be.
All right, so Kevin, I don't know, is Splash Mountain exactly the example of the kind of thing you were talking about?
The kind of thing that I wouldn't include in this list?
Yes.
Yes, that's where I would draw a line. Great attraction, but it's not a dark ride as far as I'm concerned. But in terms of my number four, Monsters, Inc. is, I think, a great choice, David, and I think it's my number four. This is a good example of where they really added some new technology to the dark ride experience. It wasn't just sort of those old-style cutout figures, but they had, like, you know, actual animatronics and some cool special effects. And the 4D smell sensation in that ride is great too. So I will be sad when this attraction is eventually, you know, bulldozed to make Marvel Land. But for now, I think it's a good dark ride attraction.
Yeah, I think we're all resigned to the fact that Hollywood Land is going to look a lot different pretty soon. All right, so we've got number fours from Chris and Kevin. For me, I'm going to go back to a classic attraction for number four. I mean, I guess Haunted Mansion is a classic attraction, but maybe not the purists' dark ride, because it does have some incline and that kind of stuff. But I guess the next one I'm going to come up with, I've gone back and forth on this one a half dozen times. All right, well, it's already been mentioned, but I'm going to repeat it because it belongs on my list, and that's Peter Pan. I'm going to use the Q word. I think this is the first time on this episode, but it is in many ways a quintessential dark ride, and it's a quintessential Disney dark ride because it takes a very classic form, and while doing fairly traditional things with storytelling, added a Disney technology twist. And by doing a suspended track so that you've got the ride vehicle that's, you know, dangling from a bar above you instead of traveling on a track below you, it created an opportunity to do some different things with forced perspective. We're used to forced perspective when you're looking up. We're not used to the experience of forced perspective looking down on the scene. And so it makes it sort of a uniquely Disney approach to a dark ride, and that alone really is enough to make it, you know, onto my list as a top five, and we'll call it number four on my list. How about you, David? What's four for you?
Number four is one that I'm sure is probably going to be on a couple other people's lists. I have a feeling it's pretty high on another panelist list here, but mine is going to be another classic, Alice in Wonderland. I have a feeling it'd be high on Kevin's list.
Now, didn't you just break your own rule, though?
I did, and I was just about to address that.
Okay.
So I just established a parameter that it needs to be primarily inside.
Okay.
If that's the criteria you're speaking of.
Yes.
It does go outside, yes. It's a very small portion of the ride. I am bending my own rules a little bit, I admit. But this ride, it takes, you know, a movie we all know and love, tells a story really, really well. The recent updates added some great animations and some just refreshment of the ride, but not in a way that detracts from it in any way. They just managed to make it better than it already was, and it was already fantastic. But that is a number four on my list.
Okay, so we've got Alice in Wonderland number four for David. David, I'm going to make you turn the corner for us here and give us your number three as well.
Ah, number three actually has already been mentioned, so I won't have a lot to say about it. But my number three was Haunted Mansion. And in fact, let's mix it up a little bit. Since I have ridden this version of Haunted Mansion more than the original, let's make it the holiday version.
Okay. So I think talk a little bit about the holiday version versus the traditional Haunted Mansion.
So the holiday version, for listeners that might not know, is a Nightmare Before Christmas theme. They put it up at Halloween time every year and leave it up through Christmas. So it's up for a pretty significant portion of the year. I mean, it's probably a quarter of the time has this theme.
Yep.
And basically Jack Skellington and his crew take over the entire ride. In the grand ballroom scene, there's always a huge gingerbread house in the middle of the banquet table, which is changed up every year, and it smells lovely in there. And I think it just adds a whole other level to that ride, and it's just a fantastic overlay.
All right. So Haunted Mansion Holiday, both make top five lists here. Chris, what's number three for you?
Going again against Kevin's rule with adding other elements, my number three is Pirates of the Caribbean. When the entire ride is, of course, inside, and adding the element of the water increases your feel of the ride, where you can be part of the attraction. Be right in the middle of it. One of the best uses of audio animatronics in terms of grand scope. And when you go into that room with the ship scene, and now there's Barbossa there, and they're firing cannons back and forth, that room just feels incredibly larger than it really is. It's absolutely amazing how it can just overtake you. Definitely one of my favorites.
Right. All right. So threes, Kevin, where do you go with number three?
My number three is Peter Pan. I think this is definitely one of the greatest attractions that they have at Disneyland. It's great that generally it's still basically the same ride as it was 60 years ago, with some improvements. And, you know, if they're like talking about taking retail space out of the park to make a bigger line for this attraction, it tells you something about how popular and everything else this attraction is. And
yes,
people still line up for it and everything else. And just the way you sort of float everything above everything is still just a really cool effect and a great time. So Peter Pan's number three for me.
All right. So I guess we still need to get our number three from me. And I'm going to go to an attraction that maybe kind of walks the line a little bit, but I still see it as a pretty traditional dark ride, and that's Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. It's tucked away there in Toontown. Unfortunately, my experience with it, at least, is that it's down as often as it's up, but it may just be era, right? I mean, Roger Rabbit is one of my favorite films, and it's so much fun. It's such a different experience of a dark ride because it's not the typical, you know, it's not so much retelling a story that's already been told. It's not traditional characters. It's not action adventure so much, really. It's just sort of immersing you in that Toon world. And to me, that's the most important part of a dark ride, is the way it immerses you in that world. And I think Cartoon Spin does a great job of that in a really unique way.
Yeah, it's definitely a dark ride. I wish now maybe I had put it on my list, but
I was just thinking the same thing. I actually kind of forgot that one.
Yeah. I think it definitely counts.
you know, yeah. proves Aaron's point for him.
Yeah.
Kind of gets tucked away back there and forgotten.
Right. So we've all gone through three on everybody's list. I guess I haven't gone first yet, so I should go first with something here. And I'm going to go first with my number two, just because it'll be fairly quick, since number two on my list was already mentioned on David's list. The Alice in Wonderland at Disneyland is my, I think I've mentioned this before, is my absolute favorite traditional Disneyland dark ride. I think that it's a combination of the fact that the design of the attraction is so creative and unique without having to be super technological or, you know, it's like it's simplicity in creativity, which I love. I mean, it's dual level, which is unusual a bit for a dark ride. And then when they did technology upgrades to it, they did them in a really sensitive way so that they still preserved that traditional dark ride feel, but still gave it some upgraded effects and some additional touches without, in my opinion at least, without disturbing the traditional feel of the attraction. So number two on my list, definitely Alice in Wonderland. Let's see, let's get a number two over here from Kevin.
Well, this is going to be a familiar choice because I'm also picking Alice as number two. And for all the reasons you guys have already talked about, among the classic Fantasyland attractions, it does have some different and unique elements, which I think are pretty cool. And the other thing I really like about this attraction also is the way it is sort of is its own little mini land or district or whatever of Fantasyland, because you have the Mad Tea Party right there. You've got the little Mad Hatter shop, and you've got some of the characters around the corner where those restrooms are. So I like that whole Alice in Wonderland vibe that they got going in that little part of Fantasyland. So that's my number two.
All right. Nice choice, as I guess I would clearly agree. Let's go with David. David, what's number two on your list?
Well, my number two's already been mentioned at least once, and that is Pirates. I think it's, we'll have to break out the Q word again, a quintessential Disney attraction. It was just groundbreaking in its use of animatronics when it was installed in the park. And it still just tells such a beautiful series of stories. I don't think it tells, you know, one story like most of the traditional dark rides do. But just the expanse of the battleship scene, like Christopher already talked about, is just amazing. They make that room look so huge. You feel like you're in the middle of a pirate ship battle. And, I don't know that I have much to add beyond Christopher. He summed it up really, really well.
All right. So Pirates has come up again. I'm guessing that it still breaks Kevin's rule of being really a water ride instead of a dark ride.
It's not on my list.
Okay.
But it's a great attraction.
All right. Well, I think I still need to get number two here from Chris.
Going with the familiar theme here, and I definitely agree with David's choice, the overlay on the Haunted Mansion for the Halloween and Christmas time is what I've experienced most in my times to Disneyland. And it is absolutely amazing. Definitely one of my favorite movies. And adding that theme in there, it almost seems like it was made for it. When you can add in the character meet and greet just outside with Jack and Sally, and then getting through and seeing the Pumpkin King outside of the ride, and getting in there and seeing Jack Skeleton's head in the stretching room is just absolutely amazing. The elements that they add into that ride fit so perfectly that it doesn't take away from the overall story that's originally there. It's absolutely perfect.
Well, now, see, that's very interesting to me. So that's all the way up at number two on your list, and it's specifically the holiday version, really relying on the additional elements sort of surrounding the attraction on top of the attraction itself.
It's an all-encompassing event, and to be able to experience it around that time is amazing. I have to say I have experienced that a lot more going around the holidays at Disneyland. Definitely one of my favorites to visit.
All right, all right. So these should next be our number one, our top favorite dark rides at Disneyland Resort. David, get us started. What's the best of the best?
All right. Well, anybody keeping score probably notices I haven't mentioned Peter Pan yet. So I've got to go with Peter Pan for my number one.
So David goes with the classic.
Yeah, I don't know what I could add that hasn't already been said, but I love, Aaron, your comment about the difference in the force perspective from having the, you know, being hung from a track on the ceiling and having, you know, looking down on force perspective. I've never really thought about that aspect before, but yeah, it's totally on point. And just, yeah, they never change this ride up much. I mean, sure, they make a couple little changes here and there with Big Ben and flattening out the London scene a little bit, but it's just classic to me. I don't know what else to add.
Right. All right. All good. So vote for Peter Pan from David as the top attraction. Chris, what's number one on your list?
Since I'm not unfamiliar with controversy tonight, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with another pick that goes against a couple others' definitions. But I have to stick with Racers in California Adventures.
It almost made my list.
I believe that the elements, there's a story told, there's enough dark ride elements and new elements that have been added that make it what dark rides, what they originally envisioned to be. You can just see the scope and the technology, how it's grown over the years and made this ride just all encompassing. And it's always a favorite and a must do when we go.
All right. So Chris makes the case for Radiator Springs Racers. I'm going to go ahead and take my turn with a number one. And I did consider Radiator Springs Racers, but I just, too much of that attraction is the outdoor thrill part for me to consider it a dark ride. And there are some great dark ride pieces to it, but it's too much of a hybrid for me to be comfortable, you know, calling it a dark ride, especially not near the top of my list. Saying all that, though, I am going to go with another attraction that you know, Kevin would probably veto. Because I'm going to go with number one on my list. Is Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, and I do it for a couple of reasons. Number one, really to me, other than, I mean, I guess you do get two drops, but that's not what that attraction is about. I mean, the drops are, to me, just sort of, you know, window dressing, which is a little ironic considering the part that I think is the important part that I like so much is the window dressing. It's just a beautiful attraction. And it, as David talked about, you know, so much groundbreaking work with animatronics done with this attraction. It tells a story. It's got a narrative. It's got characters that you can connect with as characters in the attraction. Even without, you know, we have movies now, but that attraction was telling a story when the attraction was the only story. So because I think the story elements are so strong and you get the long version there at Disneyland, Pirates of the Caribbean is number one on my list. But I did, you know, give Kevin the last word here on the top five. So Kevin, what's number one?
Well, you know, it's pretty funny. If nobody picks Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, they're probably going to get rid of it. So I'm going to pick Haunted Mansion. And I think that if you're going to classify this attraction as any, you know, attraction genre, dark ride seems to be the best fit. And it's a good example of it's not just kiddie rides, because there are certainly some more adult or older themes here going on, especially in the classic Haunted Mansion story, which I'm not sure where you got that tunnel of love thing, because I don't know if I'd want to be trying to make out going through that attic scene with the bride and her dead husbands.
But that's the traditional tunnel of love. The whole idea was that it you know, scared the parties into each other's arms.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just dark so you could make out. So maybe pirates and a boat usually for that, right?
Right.
But anyway, I think Haunted Mansion is great. It probably would be a number one if it was only the classic Haunted Mansion or only the Haunted Mansion Holiday. But the fact that you have both versions are both great in their own unique ways is why I have it here at the top of my list. And it's interesting, the Haunted Mansion Holiday, it has a little bit more of that black light, bright color thing going on, which is a typical trope of this genre. And so it's very attractive in that way. And especially it's more traditional in terms of kind of telling a story that we've seen before in an animated feature. But in any case, I think that the Haunted Mansion is just one of those Disney classics. And if we're talking about dark rides, it's like dark, scary. This is a perfect attraction for me. And why it's number one on my list.
All right. Well, it's a well-defended number one. I think maybe now what we should do is throw the floor open just a little bit and get some feedback from folks about, you know, honorable mentions, things that almost made your list but didn't make it for one reason or another. And I think I'd be curious to hear sort of what were the near misses. Anybody have one they want to kind of get us rolling with?
Yeah, I'll throw one in, and we talked a bit about it before we started recording, but I almost put Indiana Jones on my list. I mean, it kind of fits my parameters. It's all inside. It's on a track. It tells a story, but I just think there's, just like with Radiator Springs Racers, there's enough of a thrill ride element there that I just couldn't ultimately put it on the list as a dark ride.
Well, now, see, that to me, I was really close on Indiana Jones as well, and it was, I think, probably pretty clear that from my attraction list, I tended towards the more traditional, which maybe is a little ironic because I'm usually the non-traditionalist. But, you know, the more we talk about it, I have a harder time saying that Indiana Jones doesn't belong on the list. You know, what other genre does it belong to?
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time classifying it in any one single genre, really.
I mean, I would definitely call it a thrill ride. I mean, I don't think thrill rides necessarily have to be roller coasters per se, but the intent is that you're trying to jostle people around or, you know, do something with motion in that context. You know, some of the rides that Universal has that are, you know, motion-oriented. The one that's coming to my mind is the King Kong attraction at Islands of Adventure, where there are some screens and things like that, but you are getting moved around in the vehicle. It's not really dark ride in that traditional sense where you're trying to show a story. And in that way, it's the movement of the vehicle is sort of the big point of this attraction. And that's where I would put Indiana Jones there. I think for Radiator Springs, a better argument can be made for a dark ride hybrid, so to speak, there. So I would object less to that one.
Really?
But that's just because there is quite a substantial portion of that ride that is using a lot of traditional dark ride elements. Although, again, you know, in the beginning portion of when you enter the cave part of Radiator Springs, it is still more of a thrill ride because of all the movement of the car and everything else.
Well, and I guess, you know, for me, I mean, Star Tours, for example, is clearly, to me, a simulator attraction, not a dark ride. I have a hard time putting an attraction that is so heavily based on practical effects, like Indiana Jones is, in that simulator category, because it is so unlike the simulator attractions like Star Tours, like, oh, if we're going to look at Universal, you know, Spider-Man, and even to some extent, I mean, I don't know, Forbidden Journey is a closer call. It's the, you know, a weirder combination. But you have that practical effects element that is so prominent in Indiana Jones with a few projection effects. It seems to be closer, you know, more closely related to even Alice in Wonderland to me. than Radiator Springs Racers.
Okay.
I don't know if I can quite make that leap.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, when you go on Indiana Jones, you're on a vehicle that moves through the story, the character scenes, the animatronic scenes, the ride elements are, more modern versions of the cutouts in Alice. The updates to Alice are the projection, giving some more expression to faces and some little elements like that. You've got a couple of projection effects in Indiana Jones, the falling rocks or the, things like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't see how it's so different. It just moves a little faster.
I think where my head is at about this is for Indiana Jones and for Radiator Springs Racers, the point is the thrill and the dark elements enhance the story versus something like even Haunted Mansion or Pirates might fall into this area too. The point is to look at the story and the stuff around you, not so much the thrill of the vehicle moving. Although again, Pirates, you mentioned the drops there is a little bit different, but that's what's consistent among all of these ones, like Alice and Peter Pan and those sort of things, is not the thrill of whatever the vehicle is doing.
Okay.
So I would put Indiana Jones with Splash Mountain and with Pirates in that group. Personally.
Okay. See, for me, I guess to me, the genre of the attraction has less to do with because what you've done is essentially say that there's a story category element too, that because I don't understand. So what about Snow White's Scary Adventure? I mean, the whole purpose of that attraction was to be scary. It was a jump scare ride.
But the vehicle, it's not scary because of the vehicle. It's the vehicle's not doing anything except going slowly on a track.
It's the story itself that's eliciting a reaction from you.
Okay.
It's not
okay.
The motion of the vehicle
right.
Or any
okay,
thrill
but,
element.
But what about cartoon spin?
True. Well, I always make that not spin, so I can't comment.
Well, and obviously, right? I mean, there's things that are a little bit on borderline, right? With either 1 foot or a little toe into some other genre. And so cartoon spin, I think, is a good example of something that's a little bit different from the norm, but is more like a dark ride than anything else.
And then you could say Buzz Lightyear Blasters or
yeah.
Toy Story Mania. Now there's the game element to it, but it's still essentially at its core a dark ride.
Yes, but the point of the attraction is to shoot stuff. The point is not to look around at stuff. See, that's why.
Yeah. It doesn't really tell a story.
No.
Right. So we're back to the interactivity also being a disqualifier.
Right. Yeah. And I put in terms of things that just missed. I mean, Buzz Lightyear was something I had thought about. I had thought about obviously Mr. Toad and I like Snow White also. Pinocchio, that went away. And replaced by something newer. I don't know that I'd be so sad about it.
Yeah. I was gonna push you on that one a little bit, Kevin. You did mention Mr. Toad. If it didn't get any votes, maybe it was on its way out. Is that a sort of a backdoor acknowledgement that you'd be okay if Mr. Toad went away?
No. I think it's a very important part of Disney. But I'm just it's ironic that everyone always talks about how. Everyone loves Mr. Toad. It didn't make our top five list and really didn't hardly even make an honorable mention, really, either.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, another one that really hasn't come up yet that I'm a little surprised wasn't on anybody's list was, I know it wouldn't be on Kevin's, but It's a Small World. It's essentially a dark ride, even though it is water.
It's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic boat-based dark ride.
Yeah.
I agree. It is a dark ride in the same realm as Pirates is. It may not tell a story. You can experience the different cultures, but there's really no true one storytelling. I mean, same with Pirates. There are multiple stories being told in different scenes. But with It's a Small World, you're just kind of getting a grand scope of this entire I don't know. What would you? It wouldn't be a story. What would you call it?
I mean, I can see what you're saying. It's a little more thematic than it is story based.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. There's not a specific narrative. I mean, if we're talking specific narratives, you know, one thing that was sort of on the fringes of my list, you know, I couldn't make the list because my claustrophobia precludes me from writing it. but the Finding Nemo submarine voyage. It was something I was considering just because I think it gets points for being an innovative kind of attraction. You know, it's essentially a traditional dark ride in every element except for the fact that it goes underwater.
Yeah, it tells a single story. I mean, you essentially get the movie underwater. There are some elements that are technically outside before you go in the cave. That it's not exactly dark unless it is dark outside.
Well, except that even those elements are practical effect elements, you know, not unlike what you might get on other dark rides like Alice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just figurines underwater. And then you get the newer projected versions in, once you get through the caves with the characters.
Yep.
Now, one comment you made earlier, Aaron, I know we were joking around about Trader Sam's and whether the motion has to be vertical or horizontal, but
that popped into my... I was wondering if we were going to get here.
Yeah, Tower of Terror.
Well, so...
Does that count?
Well, I guess we don't really know at this point because we were limiting ourselves to Disneyland Resort, and I'm not sure we know exactly what Tower of Terror is going to be.
Well, let's go with the one that we know that was there. Would that classify as a dark ride? It's on a track. It tells a story. If you're positing that Indiana Jones could be a dark ride, then I think we have to include Tower of Terror.
I think it can be. I mean, I think it pushes Kevin's test about to the limit.
Yeah, it's no one's going for the story.
Really?
Yeah, true. Particularly my 9-year-old
daughter. Otherwise, you have to understand that the story is why my son won't go anywhere near the building even. Right? The story freaks him the heck out, and he will not go back even near the building.
I just don't think the story in the Disneyland version or the California Adventure version can compare to the Disney World.
I thought so, too. That's why I thought my son would ride it after getting freaked out by the Walt Disney World version. Didn't matter.
And it's essentially a straight drop ride. No, you know, you only have the door open, what, twice before you drop?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, most of the story happens before you even get in the ride vehicle.
Yeah. It's the theming of the building. I think you get more of that just in the queue area.
All right. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. And a valid argument that, I mean, I guess if I was going to try and argue that it's a dark ride, that a certain amount of it would almost have to be considered a walkthrough attraction more than a dark ride, because you're not in a vehicle and you're kind of self-paced to a greater or lesser extent. I mean, your pace is determined by the line you're moving with, so you can't move any faster than the folks in front of you.
Yes, I would definitely say that the Disney World version is a dark ride. Maybe not a classic dark ride, but it has the dark ride elements to put it on the list more than the Disneyland Resort version.
Yeah, you've got, it's telling you a story and you're moving in a way that is not around like the up and down drop sequence. So it does have more of those elements for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's one last round real quickly. Anybody else have any other honorable mentions or attractions that they think deserves a mention here in talking about, you know, Disneyland, Disney California Adventure, dark ride attractions?
I would love to see Disney do something useful and unique with the Winnie the Pooh attraction, which needs a lot of love, in my opinion. It's totally forgotten out there in the corner in Critter Country, although maybe now when after Star Wars opens, people might be wandering by, or I don't know, stuck at the gates trying to get into Star Wars land, and they might have to do it.
I was wondering about that. I almost wonder whether it'll end up being even more sort of isolated once Star Wars land opens, and you know, all of a sudden there's a big crowd siphon right in front of it.
Well, it'll certainly get more people in that part of the park, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to increase traffic over there, so it could go either way. I mean, it could increase the ridership there because more people are seeing it. But then again, everybody's just beelining to Star Wars land, so they may just go right past it.
Yeah.
What I would love to see them do is just bulldoze it and import the Tokyo Disneyland version. But
the Honey Hunt, the trackless?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That would be number one on my list if we were going any dark ride anywhere.
Right. Well, the one other attraction that, I don't know, I mean, it wouldn't have made my list anyway, but it's one that I stopped to think about for a second, especially as we were talking about definitions, and that is truly classic Disneyland attraction, you know, Storybook Land canal boats. Is that a dark ride, even though it's totally exposed in the sun?
Well, see, again, it's more of a boat ride than anything, but it does certainly have some of those same sort of elements. So if you want to be...
It can't be a boat ride, because if it's a boat ride, then it's got to be transportation. It's got to be taking you from place to place, and it just comes back in a circle. I mean, it's not transportation, so it can't be a boat ride.
I don't think there's enough elements that tells a single story. You get a glimpse of many stories. Now, of course, you do that as well in Pirates, but the only way you'll know those stories is if you've actually seen the original version, I would say. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to be involved in what's actually happening around you.
All right, so maybe more of a tour than a dark ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not a 3-hour one.
That's
a boat tour.
That's fair. All right, well, you know, you've heard us arguing about all these different possibilities. We'd love to hear your argument. Tell us what your favorites were or are. Email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. Or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. And by the way, if you're listening to the show, you're enjoying the show, we'd really appreciate it if you just take a couple of minutes and pop over to iTunes and leave a review of the show. Or if you're listening via Google Play, you can leave a review there. Wherever you're listening, let people know what you think of the show. It helps us in search rankings and helps other people find the show and join them in to be part of the fun here. So love to hear that feedback. In any case, until next time, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Chris Papchick.
Thanks for having me.
David Platt.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And Kevin Crossman.
It's always a pleasure. Aloha.